Hey, just wanted you to know that my newest book just released is called Dangerous Prayers, because following Jesus was never meant to be safe. To my leadership friends, to be clear, this is not a leadership book. It's all about spiritual growth to help you build a richer, stronger, more meaningful, and even dangerous prayer life. Just released, is called Dangerous Prayers. In the last episode, we talked about something that impacts every organization. We're continuing our discussion today. Every organization has problems. Last episode, we talked about this, that you are the CPS. You're the chief problem solver. Today, we're going to expand our discussion in Problem Solving Like a Boss, part two.
This is the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast.
Great to have you back for another episode of the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast, where we are building your leadership 20 minutes at a time, sometimes 25 if I go long. Anyway, it's great to have you back. If you're new with us, let me tell you what we do. We release a new teaching on the first Thursday of the month, and I really want to invest in your leadership. And one of the best ways that we grow is when we grow with each other. And so if you have a team around you, I would highly recommend that you go through this content with your team. And we want to send you something to help you do that. If you go to life.church/leadership podcast, we'll send you a leader guide every month. Just click on the little blue button and give us your email. Then we'll send you discussion questions, sometimes with bonus content. We'll give you all the high points so you can cover this with your team. I also want to tell you thank you to those of you that are inviting others on social media. Just like last month, if you tag me or use the hashtag Leadership Podcast, we're going to be looking for that. And we may repost what you're posting to invite people. I love when you actually show we're in a meeting with 20 other people or 50 other people or three other people going through the content. Also, wherever you consume this content, you might want to hit subscribe. That way the content will come to you. And write a review if it's helpful, or rate the content that actually helps create more exposure. Let's review what we talked about in the first episode. If you have not listened to that, let me just tell you, stop this one right now. Go pick up that content, then come back. Here's a brief overview, and then we'll dive into new content today. If there's one thing I know about your organization, it's this. You've got problems to be solved. You've got challenges to address. You've got tension to be managed. To start our conversation, we discovered this about you. You're going to expand your title. You're a CPS. What is that? You are the chief problem solver, because solving problems isn't something you dread as a leader. It's something that you do. Anyone can point out a problem, but a leader does something about it. What are problems? They are opportunities in disguise. We also said this, you're not an ostrich. Don't be an ostrich. Take your head out of the sand. Zig Ziglar said this. He said, the first step to solving a problem is to recognize that it exists. We talked about Collins, his book, and the paradox where he said this, you're going to retain absolute faith that you can and will prevail no matter what you're facing. You know you will prevail. But at the same time, you will confront the most brutal facts of your current reality. How are we going to not be an ostrich? We're going to create a pipeline of honest and upward communication, because your team members are often thinking of solutions to problems that you don't even know exist. Number three, we're going to kill the roots. We're not just picking at the leaves. In other words, we're working to genuinely solve problems. We're not just treating the symptom. So to get to the root of the problem, we're going to lead with questions, not come with answers. We're not making assumptions. And we as leaders, we're going to work hard to see problems early and solve them quickly. All right, let's dive into new content. We're going to look at three more thoughts, 4, 5, and 6. Thought number four is this. You're going to be both gutsy and nerdy. Be both gutsy and nerdy. In other words, you're going to trust your gut. You're going to be gutsy. And you're going to analyze the data. You're going to be nerdy. Now, some people say these ideas seem to contradict each other, and they might at the surface, but I would argue they go hand in hand. Let's talk about being gutsy. Trust your gut. Trust your intuition, because your gut often knows what your head hasn't figured out yet. You know this as a leader. Sometimes you can sense something. Intuitively, you might sense before anyone else, something's not quite right. Something needs to change. As the leader, I believe you have a leadership intuition that sometimes you can just kind of feel it in the room. you can kind of sense it in the organization, something needs to change. For example, I can sense what's going on when I work with our different teams. I lead a multi-site church that meets in 34 different locations in 10 different states. And so I'll often go in and visit with the leaders of a particular church location. And honestly, in 30 minutes with them, I can often get a very accurate assessment of where they are, of what they're feeling, of how the morale is, of what they need to work on, whether they're hitting the right targets or not. How do I do that? It's really simple. I watch the way they interact. I sense the mood and the vibe of the team. I can tell where they are based on the questions that they're asking or even how they're interacting. It's intuitive. It's a gut feeling. It's not perfect, but it's generally pretty accurate. The longer you do this, the more you're gonna learn to read behind the scenes what's not being said, what's happening, and just the mood of the people around you. So there are times you're gonna wanna really trust your gut. You're gonna be gutsy, but you're also gonna be nerdy because intuition is helpful, but it's incomplete. You're also gonna wanna be nerdy. In other words, you're gonna study the data. You're gonna do the research, you're gonna look at the numbers, and you're gonna listen to the numbers. Let them talk to you. The numbers do not lie. Now, as a leader, you've gotta make sure you've got access to the right numbers. There are certain things that really matter in your organization that you wanna be able to see at a glance what the numbers say. You're gonna trust your gut, and you're gonna analyze the data. You're gonna let the numbers talk to you. I tell our team that this, that leadership without data is like driving with your eyes closed. You don't want to be just intuitive. You want to read the numbers and trust the information. Now, this is important. When you're gathering information to make a decision, you don't want to just gather all the information that you can and analyze for months and months and months. So many organizations, they overanalyze and they're essentially stalling and not making a decision. This is important. Your goal is not to gather as much information as possible. Here's your goal. Your goal is to get the most important information as fast as possible. Let me say it again. You're not trying to gather as much information as you can. You're trying to get the most important information as fast as you can. Then you're gonna gather, you're gonna study, you're gonna analyze, you're gonna trust your gut, and you're gonna be nerdy, and you will make a decision. What are you gonna do? You're gonna be both gutsy and nerdy. Number five, you're also going to think like a consultant. If you want to be great at solving problems, think like a consultant. Now, many leaders will hire a consultant. I do that rarely. Honestly, you may want to do that, and that can be very helpful. But what I want to do rather than hiring one is I just want to train myself to think like one. In other words, I tell myself this all the time. If I were consulting me, what would I tell myself? And thinking like a consultant, it really brings a couple of benefits. When a consultant comes in, they come in, number one, with altitude, and number two, without emotion. What are the best benefits of a consultant? They've got experience, but when they come in, they bring their experience with altitude and without emotion. Chances are, when you have a problem, you're deep in the weeds and you're emotionally entangled in the situation. Your consultant steps in with altitude, with perspective, with experience, and they're not caught up in it, so they can work on it. Which reminds me of a quote from Gerber's classic book, The E-Myth Revisited. Again, oh my goodness, it's an old book, but you gotta read it. I promise you, Gerber, The E-Myth Revisited, where he says this, you don't just work in your business, you work on your business. That's what the consultant does. They're not caught up in it, so they can clearly work on it. Here's the key. If you can separate yourself from the emotion, the solution often appears. If you can elevate your perspective, separate your emotions, the solution often just seems to appear. I love to ask this question. If you want to think like a consultant, ask yourself this question and you get the same or similar result. Ask yourself this. If my successor faced this problem, what would he or she do? If my successor, someone came in after me and faced the same problem, what would he or she do? What are you doing? You're elevating your perspective. You're separating the emotion. You are thinking like a consultant. Be gutsy, be nerdy, think like a consultant. And then our sixth and final big thought in this two-part episode is this, is go with your sevens. Go with your sevens. here's what's going to happen. Sometimes you're going to face a problem and there's not going to be a really clear or obvious solution. And you may be sitting around with your team, if you're like me and tend to think in numbers, you'd be like, on a scale of 1 to 10, our best idea is like a 7. And here's what I want to tell you. If a 7 is the best you got, go with your 7. If your 6 is the best you got, then you may change this point to go with your 6s. What you're going to say at some point is you're going to say, this isn't the perfect solution. And you're going to be exactly accurate. Sometimes there's just not the perfect answer. There's just not the perfect solution. If it were an easy problem to solve, like my coat hanger problem I solved in the last episode, you'd be making $2.65 an hour. There are really complicated issues that sometimes don't have the perfect answer. Go with your 7s. Go with the best that you've got. My personal bias, and I'm not always right, but my personal bias is to try to act quickly rather than slowly when it comes to solving issues. For example, you might tell yourself, you know, what if I make a mistake on trying to solve this problem? And I would tell you, you will. You're going to make mistakes. But most of the time, I've noticed in leadership, the cost of inaction is greater than the cost of making a mistake. The cost of inaction is so often greater than the cost of making a mistake. I've seen too many leadership teams or too many leaders grow hesitant, become paralyzed, overanalyze. If you're spiritual, overpray about it, or at least say you're praying about it when you're really not, and you're just stalling. I would rather make some aggressive mistakes. I'd rather make smaller mistakes and have mistakes of movement rather than mistakes of no movement at all. I tell our team this all the time, that a good plan executed with passion today is better than a perfect plan executed later. A good plan, if you believe in it, just go with it. Even if it's a 7, go with it with passion instead of waiting for an 8 3 months from now. If you're waiting to be 100% sure, we gotta have it all right, I'm not quite sure. If you wait until you're 100% sure, here's a promise, you will always be too late. Now, before we wrap up the content in this subject, I wanna give you a few important final thoughts, and this is super, super important. You may jot this down if you're taking notes. Not every challenge you have is a problem to solve. Let me say it again. Not every challenge you have is a problem to solve. In fact, this idea originated with Barry Johnson. He wrote the book Polarity Management. And then my friend Andy Stanley, who has a great leadership podcast. If you're not listening to it, please do. Andy gave a talk at the Global Leadership Summit, an organization that I help champion. It creates a great leadership environment and an annual conference all over the world. He gave a talk at the Global Leadership Summit and he said this, sometimes as a leader, you must acknowledge this is not a problem to be solved, but a tension to be managed. I'll say it again. Sometimes you're going to acknowledge this is not a problem to be solved. This is a tension to be managed. In other words, think about the tension between balancing your work life and your family. It's always tough. Do you ever solve that problem? If you solve the problem of balancing work life and family, you write the book. I will endorse it. I will have you on this podcast and I'll broadcast it everywhere. You're not going to solve this problem. It's not a problem to be solved. It is a tension to be managed. And the same is true in your leadership. You're always going to be wrestling between some tension in your organization. You're going to wrestle between flexibility and control, or you're going to wrestle between the tension between risk and reward, or between quality and cost. If you're a church leader, between evangelism and discipleship. These are not problems to be solved. These are tensions to be managed. So as a leader, what you're not going to do is you're not going to try to control the uncontrollable or solve the unsolvable. You're going to recognize this is a tension. It's always going to be there. This is going to be an issue that we're going to manage for the rest of our leadership. That's okay. That puts it in a category. We're not spending energy trying to solve this. This is just a tension that we're going to manage. This isn't a problem to solve. This is a tension to manage. Now, what do you do when you recognize, uh-oh, we have a problem in our organization. We have a problem in our business. We have a problem in our nonprofit. You are the CPS. You are the chief problem solver. You confront the brutal facts. You kill the roots going for the root issue of the problem. You go with your gut and you study the data. You think like a consultant, you go with your sevens. Then, every now and then, you dig and you dig and you dig and you try to find the root cause of the problem. And every now and then, you discover the root of the problem is you. What do you do when you recognize you're the problem? You as a leader, you might be too controlling, too critical, too entitled, too passive, too demanding, too distracted. You're unwilling to confront the problems in your organization. You're not leading with vision. You're worn out. You're burned out. You're discouraged. You're tolerating unacceptable behavior. Sometimes, this is so important, sometimes the best way to solve the problem is to stop being the problem. What do you do if you recognize I might be the problem? Well, about 12 years or so into our church, which is now almost 24-year-old organization, about 12 years in, I recognized we had some real problems. We were pioneering a multi-site model. We were doing church in different locations and in different states. And what had happened is we had outgrown our systems and there was tension at the top. I didn't trust some of the leaders around me. They didn't trust me. And I thought, I've lost the organization that I love. I don't know how to get it back. I'm in big trouble. I don't know what to do. And I thought the problem is downline. The problem is with someone else. So I did a 360 review where I had the people around me anonymously review my leadership. And the results were quite painful to see my leadership deficiencies. Well, I thought these people are just critical. They don't understand how great I am. And about another year went by. We weren't improving. I did another 360 with another group of people. And the results came back very similar. I had some problems in my leadership. They said I was distracted. I was investing more on the outside, not the inside. And essentially, I had to recognize I was the problem. I want to say this lovingly. It's not a bad thing. Some of you as a leader, you're hitting the ceiling and you are the problem. What you want to do is if you are, you want to tell the truth because you cannot correct what you won't confront and be honest and say, I'm the problem. If you're a problem, guess what? That's an opportunity. It's an opportunity in disguise. If you get better in your leadership, if you solve whatever area of your leadership is a problem, you can change the tone of your organization faster than you can ever imagine. So what do? Make the change. Tell the truth. Get better, because everyone wins when the leader gets better. Let's review the content and come back with some important thoughts. What's the content from today? We're going to be both gutsy and nerdy. Trust your gut and analyze the data, because your gut knows what your head hasn't figured out yet. Be gutsy and nerdy, but don't just trust the gut. Study the data, do the research, listen to the numbers, because leadership without data is like driving with your eyes closed. Gather information, but remember, your goal is not to gather as much information as possible. Your goal is to get the most important information as fast as possible. Gather, study, analyze, trust your gut, be nerdy, make a decision. Also think like a consultant. When your consultant comes in, they come in with altitude and without emotion. If you can separate yourself from the emotion, the solution often appears. Great question, ask yourself. If my successor faced this problem, what would he or she do? Finally, go with your sevens, because sometimes you face a problem and there is no perfect solution. On a scale of 1 to 10, if the best proposal is a 7, then you go with your sevens. My personal bias is act quickly, not recklessly, but quickly, because the cost of inaction is greater than the cost of making a mistake. I tell my team, a good plan executed with passion today is better than a perfect plan executed later. If you wait until you're 100% sure, you're always going to be too late. Now, don't forget, not every challenge you have is a problem to solve. Sometimes we recognize this is not a problem to be solved, but a tension to be managed. Application questions, number one. Remember, we recognize that as leaders, our goal isn't to gather as much information as possible, but to get the most important information as fast as possible. Here's the question. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's the quality of information you can gather within a 24-hour period? You have to be really honest. And I know this is a subjective question, but be honest about it. If you aren't satisfied with whatever that number is and you have a problem to solve, as a leader, it is imperative that you have access to accurate and timely information. If you don't, you'll always be leading blind. How much information can you gather in a 24-hour period? If you're not satisfied with that, that is a problem that you're going to want to solve. Question number two, I'll introduce it, then I'll ask the question. Introduction. If you're facing a problem right now, you might be paralyzed because you're emotionally entangled in the situation. It happens to all of us, especially if it entails people, but I love them, but they're nice, and you know the situation like that. Try to apply this question to the problem that you're facing, whatever it is. If my successor replaced me today, what would he or she do about this problem? Take that filter, put it to your problem, and you might see an answer emerge. Because if you're emotionally detached, that gives you the altitude to make a good decision. Sometimes you're going to dig in and you're going to recognize that the root of the problem is actually you. You might find yourself right now, you're hesitant, you're losing confidence, you're afraid, you're uncertain, you're unsure of yourself. What I want to tell you is this, have confidence. You're in the role because you're good. You've got gifts, you've got talents, you've got passion. You can lead your way out of whatever facing. You are the CPS. You are the chief problem solver. Trust your gut, analyze the data, get good information, think like a consultant, and then go with the best decision possible. Listen, whatever you do, keep leading. Keep moving forward because your team will forgive someone who isn't perfect, but they can't follow someone who's standing still. Attack, lead, be aggressive, have faith, make a difference. Big thanks to all of you who are sharing on social media. Invite others to be a part. If you don't mind rating or writing a review wherever you consume the content, that would be a big personal favor to me. Tag me when you post. We're going to be reposting a lot. Invite everybody to listen. We're getting better 20 minutes or 25 minutes at a time. We know this, when the leader gets better, everyone wins. And so bring you. Don't feel pressure to get it right, to know it all, to always be perfect, because people would rather follow a leader who's always real than one who's always right.
Thank you for joining us at the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast. If you want to go even deeper into this episode and get the leadership guide or show notes, you can go to life.church/leadership podcast. You can also sign up to have that information delivered straight to your inbox every month. In the meantime, you can subscribe to this podcast, rate and review it on iTunes, and share with your friends on social media. Once again, thank you for joining us at the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.